Let me ask you something before we get going. Have you ever caught yourself, hand on the throttle, saying a sentence that sounded perfectly reasonable in the moment and looked insane the next morning? Something like, "I've done this before, it'll be fine," or, "I can beat that weather if I just push a little," or, "Forget it, I'm going." If you have, welcome. You're a pilot, and you're the reason we're doing this show today. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Pattern, and you're listening to Traffic Pattern, the segment where we try to make you a little bit safer than you were 20 minutes ago. Today we're talking about the five hazardous attitudes: anti-authority, impulsivity, invulnerability, macho, and resignation. Five specific patterns of thinking that the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, identified after digging through accident reports and asking a simple, uncomfortable question. Not what did the airplane do, what was the pilot thinking? Because here's the thing about scenario-based decision-making. The scenario almost never kills you. The decision does, and the decision comes out of a sentence you told yourself. Before we get into it, let me give a quick shout to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo? There's a coin for that. Private, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a good way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you worked hard for. aviationsoul.com. Go take a look. All right, let's walk through this together. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The hazardous attitudes aren't personality flaws. You're not a bad person if you've felt all five of these. I have felt all five of these, sometimes in the same flight. They're not who you are. They're weather systems that move through your head, they come. And if you can name them, they go. And that's the whole trick, naming them. Because the FAA didn't just hand you a list of five ways to die, they gave you a specific antidote for each one, a sentence you say back. Out loud if you have to. And I want you to actually learn these, not just nod along, because on the day you need one, you will not have time to look it up. Let's take them one at a time. Number one, anti-authority. This is the voice that says, "Don't tell me what to do. The rules are for other people. Some bureaucrat who's never flown my airplane wrote that regulation." Picture a pilot looking at a temporary flight restriction on the chart, a TFR. There's a wildfire, and the airspace is closed, so the tankers and the helicopters can work without worrying about some Cessna wandering into their drop zone. And the pilot thinks, "Ah, it's just a little sliver, I'll cut the corner, who's it going to hurt?" That's anti-authority, and the antidote is four words. Follow the rules. They are usually right, not always. We'll get to the exception when we talk about resignation, but usually that regulation you're annoyed by was very often written in someone's blood. Somebody already made your clever shortcut, and the rule exists because it didn't work out for them. Number two, impulsivity. This is the attitude that says, "Do something quickly, anything, right now." Impulsivity is dangerous, precisely because it feels like decisiveness. It feels like you're being a good action-oriented pilot. But watch what it actually does. Your engine starts running rough on climb out. Impulsivity grabs the first switch its hand lands on, resets something, changes something, before the brain has even finished the sentence, what is actually wrong. The examiner is looking for the opposite of this. On your check ride, when something goes sideways, the first thing a good pilot does is often nothing. Fly the airplane, take a breath, wind the clock, as the old timers used to say, meaning give yourself a beat before you touch anything. The antidote to impulsivity is five words: not so fast, think first, aviate, navigate, communicate. In that order is really just impulsivity's antidote wearing a flight suit. It's a structure that stops your hands from moving before your head catches up. Number three, and this one is the quiet killer, invulnerability. That won't happen to me. Every accident report you've ever read happened to a pilot who the morning of was certain it would not happen to them. Accidents happen to other people? To less careful pilots? To the guy on the news? Not to me, I'm careful. I'm current. Invulnerability is what lets you look at a weather product covered in scary colors and somehow file it under. That's a problem for somebody, but not for this flight. It's what lets you skip the pre-flight item you've checked 1,000 times. Because in 1,000 flights, it was always fine. Let me tell you about the trap inside that. The 1,000 fine flights don't make the next one safe. They just make you comfortable. Comfort and safety are not the same thing, and on some flights, they point in exactly opposite directions. The antidote, "It could happen to me," say it. It could happen to me. Because the day you believe that all the way down is the day you actually start flying like it's true. Number four, macho. I can do it. I'll show you. Now, everybody hears macho and pictures some swaggering guy trying to impress people. Sure, That exists, but macho is sneakier than that, and it does not care about your gender or your hours. Macho is any time proving something to yourself or somebody else becomes more important than the outcome of the flight. It's the low pass for the friends at the barbecue. It's the crosswind that's over your personal limit, but there's another pilot watching, and you don't want to be the one who diverts. It's continuing an unstable approach because going around feels, somewhere down deep, like admitting you couldn't grease it. Here's the reframe that saved me. The go-around is the macho move. Diverting is the macho move. It takes far more of whatever you think you're proving to key the mic and say, unable, I'm going somewhere else, than it does to press on and get lucky. The antidote to macho is four words. Taking chances is foolish. Number 5, resignation. What's the use? This is the one that shows up when it's already gone bad. The pilot who's behind the airplane, task saturated, may be a little scared, and some part of them just quietly lets go of the controls, not physically, mentally. It's up to the airplane now. It's up to the weather. Somebody else will figure this out. If it was going to be my day, it was going to be my day. Resignation is the opposite of every good outcome you have ever heard about. Think about the stories that end well. The engine quits and the pilot flies the airplane all the way into the field, working the problem down to the last second. The instruments fail in the clouds and the pilot keeps flying partial panel, one needle at a time, refusing to quit. Those pilots did not surrender. Resignation is surrender and the airplane will happily accept it. The antidote: I'm not helpless. I can make a difference. And this is where that anti-authority exception lives, by the way. Because the pilot in command has the final authority. If following a clearance is going to hurt you, you don't follow it. You say unable, you declare, and you fly the airplane. That's not anti-authority, that's you, refusing to be resigned. There's a difference between breaking a rule because you're annoyed and setting one aside because it's about to kill you and you are the last line of defense. Know which one you're in. So that's the 5. Let me give them to you one more time clean because I want them in your head. Anti-authority. Antidote, follow the rules. They are usually right impulsivity. Antidote, not so fast, think first. Invulnerability. Antidote, it could happen to me. Macho. Antidote, taking chances is foolish. Resignation. Antidote, I'm not helpless. I can make a difference. Now here's the part that actually matters, because a list is useless until you can use it in the airplane. Let me walk you through how this plays out in a real scenario. The way the whole thing stacks up, because these attitudes almost never arrive one at a time. You're a fresh private pilot, 200 hours maybe. You planned a cross country to see family, a nice 150-mile hop, and you told everyone you'd be there for dinner. That's your first pressure, and you said it yourself before you ever looked at a weather briefing. Morning of, the forecast is marginal. Ceilings coming down through the afternoon along your route, you get your briefing, and the briefer's voice has that careful tone. VFR flight not recommended. Attitude number 1 shows up. Anti-authority. Ah, briefers always say that. They're covering themselves, it's probably fine, and you catch it. You say the antidote. They're usually right, so you don't dismiss it. You go look at the actual weather yourself. Good, you just won round 1. The weather's ugly, but the first half of the route looks flyable, so you launch, telling yourself you'll turn around if it gets bad. And an hour in, it gets bad. Ceilings dropping. Visibility going down, now your scud running, lower and lower, and here comes invulnerability, whispering that other pilots get caught in this, but you can see the ground, you're fine, you've got this. Antidote, it could happen to me. Every pilot in every one of those weather accident reports could see the ground too, right up until they couldn't. So you make the call to turn around, but you feel that little sting of macho as you do it. That voice that says everyone's expecting you, you'll look foolish showing up late or not at all. Antidote. Taking chances is foolish, turning around isn't the foolish thing. Pressing on was going to be the foolish thing. Now you're headed back, but you're rattled and the weather behind you is filled in too. And this is the dangerous moment, because impulsivity wants you to just pick a direction and firewall it, and if that doesn't work, resignation is right behind it, ready to tell you it's hopeless. Not so fast. Think first. You've still got fuel, you've still got the airplane. Not helpless. I can make a difference? So you slow down. You pick the nearest field with decent weather. You use flight following, or you flat out declare and ask for help, because there is no trophy for the pilot who crashed without bothering anyone. You fly the airplane to a runway you didn't plan on and you have dinner at an airport diner instead of your family's table. And you are alive to be annoyed about it. That is scenario-based decision-making. Not one big heroic call. 5 small ones, each one catching an attitude before it caught you. Let me leave you with 2 practical things you can actually do. First, the FAA built a self-assessment inventory for these, and it's worth taking honestly in private, where nobody's watching. It shows you which of the five you personally lean toward. I lean impulsive. I know that about myself, so I have trained myself to sit on my hands for a three count before I touch anything non-fodal. Know your weakness before it's the one flying the airplane. Second, say the antidotes out loud sometime. In the run-up, in the pattern, on a boring cruise leg. It feels ridiculous the first time. It stops feeling ridiculous the day one of them comes out of your mouth on its own at exactly the moment you needed it and turns you around while there's still air under your wings. Most of what I gave you today comes straight out of the FAA's Risk Management Handbook and the Airman Certification Standards, which every one of you preparing for a checkride should already be living in. Go read the Aeronautical Decision-Making section tonight and read it like it's about you, because it is. You can find us and everything else we do at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. The airplane doesn't have attitudes. You do. Go fly like you know that.